the Lord.
Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Greetings to our pastor and our assistant pastor and our elders and ministers, evangelists, missionaries, all of you God's wonderful people. I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus. Indeed, God has been good to us. We have had some unpleasant days and some uncomfortable days, but certainly we cannot complain because in spite of it all, God has been good to his people. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray at this time. Father, in the name of Jesus, I am nothing, but I'm just a vessel waiting to be used by you. Lord, I pray, God, that you will impart within me the word of truth to share with your people. In the name of Jesus, your word is already anointed. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. I pray, God, that you will heal, that you will deliver, that you will refresh your people tonight. Do whatever pleases you, and we will be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. To the word of God, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. The King James Version, James chapter 1. I'm going to read a few verses. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But let patience have her perfect work, that he may be perfect and entire, or in other words, complete, wanting nothing. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. As I reflected on the word of God tonight, I, like many of you, I started to reflect on my own life and the fact that God has given me the greatest gift that mankind can receive, and that is salvation. There is nothing that we possess that in this world that can be compared to be redeemed from our sins. Doesn't matter how much we have in this world, doesn't matter how comfortable we're living. If we have not accepted the gift of salvation, then we are nothing. Nothing greater than being forgiven of our sins and being washed in the blood of Jesus. Nothing greater than having the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. And I know that some of us, we are now sweetly saved, but it wasn't always like this. Some of us, as Sister Lenora had testified, some of us were liars and thieves and warmongers and fornicators, filled with evil and malice and all manner of evil. But look what the Lord has done. The Bible says that such were some of us, but now we are washed. Now we are sanctified and we've been justified by the Spirit of God. Some of us, sometimes we just need to look back over our lives, and I reflect on my own life, and I realize that God has brought me from a very long way. I realize that as I reflect, I remember trying to find satisfaction in this world. I tried the movies, I tried the parties. I was trying to fit in with the world, but I was just so uncomfortable. Why? Because God was just pulling at my heartstring. God was just tugging at me and showing me the path of righteousness. The Bible says that we didn't choose him, but he chose us. We didn't deserve to be loved, but God loves us. And so salvation is everything to us. Serving God means everything to us. It doesn't matter what our standard of living is and how much we have in this world or how little we have. The songwriter says that I have everything that I need to make me happy. I've got Jesus, and that's enough. And I know sometimes we don't want to dwell on the past, but every now and then we just got to reflect on where God has taken us from, and we will have a greater appreciation for what God has done in our life. Somebody said that reflection will give us a greater appreciation for what God has done. And so God, roll back the curtains of memory. Show me where you have brought me from and where I could have been. And so we're just so grateful to the Lord tonight. Praise the Lord. And now that we have accepted this great salvation, the Bible encourages us that we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. The Bible says that we must leave the principles of the doctrine and that we should move on to perfection. In other words, don't be stuck on the basics of the doctrine, because a tree that is just planted cannot survive even the very slightest wind if over time its roots doesn't go down into the ground. A tree that whose branches doesn't thicken cannot withstand any form of pressure, cannot withstand any form of weight. And so we see many have started out, many had accepted Christ, but they are backslidden. Why? Because the storms of life came and it blew them down, because their roots did not go down. Their spiritual roots did not go down. They never sought to understand God's word. They never sought to get close to God. They were stuck. They were stagnant, stuck in one place. And sometimes we look at persons who have been in the church quite a while, a long time, but yet they're spiritually dull. They're like newborn babes. And they have to be fed with milk because they can't handle solid food. Solid food, it's not of no effect to them. They're like babes. Have you ever wondered, we see some persons there, they've been in the church a long time, but when we hear them talk, when we hear their conversation, it's like they're just learning to walk. And it's the same thing that Paul had encountered with the Jewish believers in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. When Paul was teaching them about teaching them about Jesus, Paul says, Hebrews 5 and 11, NLT version, there is much more that we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. And so Paul, what Paul was saying here is that he could not share with the believers, the Jewish believers, certain revelations of Jesus because they lacked spiritual maturity. And even if he shared it, they would never understand because they were still like babes. And it is true, and he said this in the word, that a man who lacks spiritual growth will always struggle to distinguish between right and wrong. It's very difficult for them to separate good from evil. A man who is stagnant will always be prone to sinning. And so if we don't avail ourselves to the full knowledge of Jesus, we will just be like infant learning to walk. Unstable in the knowledge of Jesus. And so what Paul was saying to us, in other words, that as children of God, we must grow our faith in God. How do we grow? Our faith in God must become stronger. Our grip must become firmer. Our relationship with God must become closer. There should be a greater hunger and thirst after righteousness. Because even though we might not understand everything in the Word of God, but spiritual growth is not measured by how well we understand the Word. But it has to do with our application of the Word of God. It's not measured by how well we preach and teach and exhort. It's not measured by how well we sing and how much we speak in tongues. But spiritual growth is measured by the strength of our faith in God, by our obedience to God's word. It's measured by the attitude that we portray in the midst of trials that we go through from time to time. Spiritual growth is measured by the strength of our faith when the going gets tougher, when our backs are against the wall, when all hell is breaking loose in our lives. Are we still able to stand on the word of God? And so the Bible says that God has given to every man a measure of faith. Every man, every child of God has a measure of faith. But our faith always has room to grow. And so if we have not maximized our faith in God, if we are not growing spiritually, then as James says, we will be like, we will be wavering. We will be like those who waver it like the wave of the sea driven with the wind tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And so one of the tools that God uses for us to grow our faith in him, it is by him sending our way tests and trials. One of the tools that God uses to strengthen our faith is for him to send trouble our way. And the truth is that, my brothers and sisters, tests and trials, it's normal in the life of a child of God. The Bible says, think it not strange concerning your fiery trial, which is but to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. And so the test that we go through from time to time, I usually liken it to a school teacher, a teacher who teaches and prepares his students. And every now and then he would warn his students that they need to make sure that they're grasping what is being taught, because at some point they will be tested on that which they had received. They will be tested on the knowledge that was imparted unto them. And so, my brothers and sisters, as Christians, we must live in such a way, knowing that while we are here on earth, God will allow us to go through tests. God will put our faith on trial. But God will always prepare and equip us with whatever we need to pass our tests. And so at times God will send a word to us. From time to time we have been hearing the word of God. Sunday and Sunday night and Tuesday and even Friday night. We have heard the word to build us up. Hallelujah. And so I understand that not every word that we hear will be relevant to what we are going through at the time. But the Bible says that we must hide these words in our heart. We must make sure that they're buried deep inside of us. We must make sure that we're holding on to what we hear. Let us not take the word of God for granted. Because there will come a time when we've got to pull on the word. There will come a time when we've got to use that word that we heard months ago and years ago. We've got to pull on it to encourage ourselves and to strengthen ourselves and to enable us to overcome the enemy and to pass our test. Hallelujah. And so it is God who decides what test to send our way to accomplish his purpose in our lives. It is God who decides what trial to send our way that will cause us to grow. And so God will allow us to go through certain tests and trial to reveal our faith, not only to reveal our faith, but to refine our faith. And so whatever it takes for us to be strong in the Lord, God will do it. And so we must be careful for what we ask of God. Because sometimes we pray and we ask God to strengthen our faith. But when we pray this prayer, we are asking for God to send some trials our way. For God to send some trouble our way. Because the only way that our strength or our faith can be strengthened is if our faith is challenged. The only way that our faith can be strengthened is if we have something pulling against the spiritual man. And so God uses trials and tests to build our faith muscles. He uses test and trial to stretch our faith. Have we been in a situation where God sets up our life in such a way that he calls us to go through some stuff where nobody can help us? All the support system that was around us is gone. And we are now in a situation where if God doesn't intervene, then we cannot be helped. We're forced to stretch our faith. We're forced to trust in God. We're forced to believe what our eyes cannot see. And so God will sometimes put us in a position where we can't even help ourselves. Normally, the persons who are there to help us, they no longer can help us. Normally, the persons who are there who can stretch and give us a helping hand, they're no longer there. That's how God set it up. And it forces us to be less dependent upon ourselves. It forces us to be less dependent upon friends and family. And so the problem with us, my brothers and sisters, sometimes we're too resourceful. We know too many people. We have too many dependents. We have our support system around us is too strong. And so we lack faith where we because we can go to our brother and our sister when we're in deep trouble. It doesn't force us to believe God. But sometimes God The doors that were open in front of us, sometimes God will close them, that not even a crack you can see. Sometimes God will not even allow us to see the very light at the end of the tunnel. But it is during these times, my brothers and sisters, that we must take the attitude that if God cannot help me, then nothing can. We've got to take the attitude that it's either God or bust. It is during these times that we've got to tell ourselves that through it all, I'm going to learn to trust in Jesus. I'm going to learn to depend upon his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is during these times that we've got to stretch our faith and we've got to encourage ourselves. We've got to remember that faith doesn't have a backup plan. True faith, it has no competition. Faith is lonely. Faith, it stands by itself. Faith has no connection to anything else but God. And so during these times, we got to tell ourselves that I'm not going to depend on my support system. I'm not going to put in a contingency plan, but I'm going to wait on God until my change comes. We've got to tell ourselves that I'm going to wait on God until my mourning turns into dancing. I'm going to wait on Jesus until my sorrow turns into joy. And so there are times when we tell ourselves, when we pray to God and we desire to go to a next level in God. But my brothers and sisters, before we can get to the next level, sometimes God has to test and to prove how well we are planted in him. Before we can get to the next level in God, God has to equip us to handle the next level of assignment. God has to equip us to handle the forces that will come up against us. I heard somebody say one time that new levels will bring new devils. And so God will never send a soldier in the battle, a soldier who is not equipped. And so what God does, he uses tests to prepare us and to mold us and to shape us so that we will be equipped for his purpose. Have you ever wondered that every time God puts us within us a desire to draw closer to him, the more adversity we face, every time God puts within us a desire to get closer to him, the greater the trial that comes upon our lives. It seems as if every time God puts within us that desire to seek after him more, it's as if it awakes the forces of darkness. But I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, that nothing can fight against you unless God allows it. No child of God will be tested unless it is in the will of God for you to be tested. The enemy can't touch us unless God gives permission. It's God's doing. And so the Bible says that it is better if the will of God be so that we suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. But the Bible goes on to say that God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. And so my brothers and sisters, God has a design for every test that we face. There is a purpose for every trial that we go through. We must remember that without a Goliath, there will be no battle to fight. Without a test, there will be no testimony. Without sickness, we can't receive healing. Without a setback, we cannot be an overcomer. And so our trial is to prove our faith in God. Hallelujah. And to prepare us for greater battle. The Bible says that the enemy is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so our test is God's tool to prepare and equip us to stand in the evil day. Ephesians chapter Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 6, rather. And verse 11. King James Version. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and with your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so, my brothers and sisters, while we're being tested, we should never be rebellious against what God is doing in our lives. Sometimes we don't understand the purpose for every test and trial that we go through. But in spite of the unpleasant circumstance that we go through at times, we need to understand that we are being shaped by God to accomplish his purpose, to accomplish something greater than what our eyes can see. And so in the midst of our trial, we got to make sure that our spiritual eyes are open so that we can see what God is showing us in the spirit. We've got to make sure that our ears are attentive to what God is saying to us. And so we should never disregard or take lightly what God is doing in the midst of our trial. We need to understand that it's not just another sickness. It's not just another death of a loved one. It's not just another financial struggle. It's not just another problem finding a job. It's not just another problem on the job. It's not just another person who is trying to oppose you and to say all manner of evil against you. Everything that's taking place in your life, there is purpose. And so we must allow the testing process to be brought, as James said, to be brought to its completion so that we may receive the benefit of what God is showing us and what God is teaching us. Trials and tests, they can only be beneficial to us when we maintain the right attitude in the midst of our storm. We can't always control what befalls us. We can't control, or we can't even dictate what God does in our lives. But God has given us all that we need to maintain the right attitude while we're going through our test. And so somebody says that our attitude will determine our altitude. And so when we look at the attitude of some of the great Bible characters who suffered, we look at the life of Job. Job lost everything, lost his possessions, lost his children and his servant. But Job worshiped God. Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb. The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away." And the Bible says that Job worshiped God. The right attitude. We talk about Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, but he remained true to God. And in spite of what his brothers did to him, Joseph had a heart of forgiveness. The right attitude. Bible tells us that David endured Saul's persecution, and when he could have killed Saul, when he was in a position to kill Saul, he spared his life. He portrayed a godlike attitude. Never revengeful. We talk about Daniel, and Daniel was threatened to be thrown into the lion's den, but Daniel never stopped praying. He never bowed to the idols, even though his life was under threat. The right attitude. We talk about Paul. The Bible says that Paul had a thorn in his flesh that he could not get rid of. But Paul says that I will rejoice in the midst of my infirmity. The right attitude. And so, my brothers and sisters, when these trials come, what is our attitude? How do we respond when the pain is real? How do we respond when we feel that the walls are closing in around us? How do we respond when things seem to be totally outside of our control? Hallelujah. Many times when we come up some problems that are real, we pray and we ask many questions of God. Lord, why me? God, why do I have to go through this? What have I done to deserve this? Why is it that everyone else's life seemed to be going fine, but my life seemed to be topsy-turvy? Why, Lord? But the truth is, my brothers and sisters, whenever we pray like this, we turn the focus on self and not on God's will. Whenever we pray like this, we focus on what we are going through rather than what God is doing in our lives. But even in the midst of our test, even in the midst, hallelujah, of our trials, as children of God, we must be selfless. The Bible says, any man will come after me, he needs to take up, deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Not to think about self, not to think about what you're going through. But accept the will of God in your life. And so Jesus was a perfect example of what our attitude should be when we're faced with difficult times. Praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. The struggle that Jesus was going through was real. And he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thy will be done. Hallelujah. There's a songwriter which says, sweet will of God still folds me closer till I am wholly lost in thine. It's not about my will. Hallelujah. But it's what about what God is seeking to accomplish in our lives. And so, my brothers and sisters, I know maintaining the right attitude is during our trials, it's not easy. But this is what the Lord requires of us. And that's why James told us that we must count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptation, when we face trials of many kind. How can we have joy in the midst of suffering? How can we have joy when the world seems to be turning upside down? Our world seems to be turning upside down. James says, count it all joy and rejoice in the midst of your trial. That's the godly attitude. And so, my brothers and sisters, very often we pray for God to turn around our circumstance, and we pray for God to heal us and for God to deliver us and for God to turn around our situation. We pray and nothing happens. Why? Because God is not looking to deliver us from our situation, but he's trying to use the situation to change us. Hallelujah. He's trying to use the situation to bring us closer to God. He's trying to use the situation to bring us to higher heights and deeper depths in him. And so our responsibility, like James said, is to persevere so that God can finish the work that he has started in us. I know sometimes we don't understand what God is doing in our lives, but we just need to trust God. And we know that God knows what's best for us. I don't understand, God, what you're doing, but I know that your thoughts towards me are good and not evil to give me an expected end. Lord, I know I may not fully understand what you're doing in my life, but I trust you. I know you cares. I know he cares for me. I trust in God. I know sometimes it doesn't feel good and it doesn't look good, but I know that it's going to work out for my good. I'm talking to somebody tonight, somebody who is broken, somebody, oh, you're going through a difficult time right now. You've been seeking the answers. You've been looking to your left and to the right. You've been looking to your support system, but you need to trust God to bring it. You need to trust God one more time. You need to trust God because God knows what's best for you. God knows the trial to send your way. God knows the test to send your way so that he can shape you and mold you to become what he wants you to be. And so, my brothers and sisters, our God has a right to demand and to command us to do what he requires. God has a right to chasten us. God has a right to discipline us until we become what he wants us to be. God has a right to examine us and to test us and to shape our character to reflect a Christ-like attitude. And so sometimes when we're going through what we're going through, it doesn't make sense. Sometimes when we look at the test that is before us, there is no indication, there is no evidence that it is God's doing. And sometimes it seems as if nothing good is going to come out of what we're going through. When we look at our circumstance and we look at the severity of what we are going through, very often we think to ourselves that there is no way that it is God who is allowing me to go through this. And so sometimes, my brothers and sisters, this leads us to pray a prayer that is amiss because we think it's the hand of the enemy. And so we start binding the devil and we start binding forces and pleading the blood of Jesus against Satan, not realizing that it's the hand of God upon our lives. We don't realize that it is God that is testing our faith. And so we must remember that we may not understand all the mysteries of God. But everything that God does, there is a design, there is a purpose. And so we look, and I'm coming down. We look at the story of Abraham, and the Bible says that God decides to test Abraham's faith. And how does he test Abraham's faith? The Lord, he instructed Abraham to offer his son, the one son of promise, Isaac, as a burnt offering. Now, when we look at it, it doesn't make sense. Because when we look at who Isaac is, and what it means for God to ask Abraham to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. We know that Abraham had waited over 25 years to receive the promise. We know that, that Isaac is a child of the promise of God. And it is God who instructed Abraham that it is through Isaac that the Lord has promised to make Abraham a father of many nations. But the promise did not yet come to fruition. Yet God instructed Abraham to offer Isaac as a burnt offering. It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't add up. And so when we look at the scripture, there is no record of Abraham questioning God. But I believe that Abraham must have been probably thinking to himself that I know that God cannot lie. I know that he's a God who keeps his promise. But how is he going to work this out? How is he asking me to offer as a sacrifice this one child of promise through which many nations shall come? Lord, you said that this child is a child of promise. Nation shall come out of me. King shall come out of me. But before you bring it to pass, you're asking me to kill the child of promise and to offer him as a sacrifice. But when we read the word of God, we look at Abraham and his attitude, we realize that Abraham trusted in God. He did not say that, Lord, what are you doing? God, it doesn't make sense. He did not question God. But he believed that God would provide himself a sacrifice. And so Abraham didn't know for sure what God would have done. He didn't know whether God would have allowed him to sacrifice Isaac and then raise him up from the dead. All these things may have crossed Abraham's mind, but Abraham was focused on doing one thing, and that was to obey the voice of God. Abraham was focused on passing his test. And so, my brothers and sisters, sometimes God will ask of us to do some things that are uncomfortable and painful, things that seems to be humiliating. Sometimes God will ask of us to make some sacrifice that's beyond human comprehension and logic. It doesn't seem to make sense. But I say to us tonight that whatever God asks us to do, let's just do it. God did not tell us that we will always understand everything that he asks us to do, but his word instructs us that we must always obey him. But the problem with us sometimes is that we like to reason things out. We like to put things in context and perspective. We're too knowledgeable. We're too intellectual. Faith doesn't work with intellect. Hallelujah. We want to connect all the dots. We want to dot all the I's and cross all the T's. But we must remember that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. The Bible says that his ways are not our ways. And so to pass our test, my brothers and sisters, I'll be finishing within 5 minutes. To pass our test, we've got to trust the sovereign God. Abraham did not fully understand the reasoning. It didn't seem to make sense. But he did exactly as God instructed him to do. And so obedience is an indication of the faith and confidence that we have in God. Because obedience is faith in action. And the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so if we're going to pass our test, we've got to do exactly as the words instructs us. There should be no compromise. There should be no way around it. Whatever God instructs us to do, we just need to do it. Hallelujah. 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 And so God is asking somebody tonight, will you go where I ask you to go? Just like he had tested Abraham. Will you do what I'm asking you to do? Will you trust me in the midst of your test? Can you trust me when whatever is happening, it doesn't seem to make sense? Are you walking by faith or are you walking by sight? Do you have to see the light before you believe God? Do you have to see a way out before you start praising God? The Bible says that blessed are they who have not seen but yet believe. And so there will be times in the life of a child of God that it will be difficult to trust and obey God. There will be times in our lives that when things are happening around us, when things seem to be going the wrong way, it will be difficult to trust God. But it is during these times that we must encourage ourselves. Like Job, Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job said, I can't seem to find him. I look to the left, I look to the right, I look around me, but I can't seem to find God. But he knoweth the way that I take, that after he has tried me, I will come forth as pure gold. The Bible says that many are the afflictions, hallelujah, of the righteous, but God will deliver us out of them all. And so I say to us tonight, it is during the time of test and trial that we will prove if our worship is for real. The Lord asked Abraham to sacrifice of worship, and he asked him to present Isaac as an offering. And this offering was all about worship. And the Bible says that Abraham told his servants to stay here. I and the lad will go yonder to worship. Can you worship God? No matter what the circumstance that you face, can you worship God when there seems to be confusion? Will you worship him when your heart is heavy? Can you worship God when you can't seem to hear his voice? Can you worship God when you don't even be able to feel his presence? Is your worship for real? And so the Bible says that the hour cometh, and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father. Because the Father seeketh such to worship him. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. My brothers and sisters, anybody can praise God, but only a few can worship God in the midst of the storm. Not many people can worship God when the going gets rough. Because worship, we got to understand that worship is a recognition, and it is a submission to the will and authority of God. Worship is it is an attitude of placing God above our circumstance. Worship is an attitude of accepting that God's ways are best, and that whatever God does is well done. And so Abraham lifted up his hands, the Bible says. He took the knife. It was a final act of surrender. It was a final act of worship. It wasn't until Abraham lifted up his hands that he heard the angel said, "Lay not thine hand upon thy son. Now I know that you fear God." And the Bible says that it wasn't until he lifted his hands to slay his son. That was when the ram was caught in the thicket. Abraham's worship was for real. When he lifted his hands, it was an act of worship. It was an act of surrender. It was an act of obedience. And so our worship will attract God's presence. God desires to worship, even in the midst, in the midst of the storm. God desires to worship. The potter, and I'm closing on this, the potter has a right to make whatever he wants out of the clay. Jesus has a right to carve and to shape and to mold us into becoming who he wants us to be. I don't know what the trial that you're going through today. I don't know what kind of test you're facing right now, but I want to challenge you to embrace it as God's design to bring you to full maturity and growth in him. I want for you to embrace your trial as God's design to bring about his purpose in your life. And so for a child of God, there is purpose in every trial. There is a blessing in every trial. Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for good. Hallelujah. To them that love God. To them. To them who are the called. According to his purpose. My brothers and sisters, I want to leave this with you. Persevere through your test. This too shall pass. Hallelujah. Surrender your will. Surrender your ways to the Lord. And he shall bring it to pass. Ayakashatama. God bless you as you hold on to this word. In Jesus' name.